Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass!"
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
It's 99 in the shade, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Newcastle have spent some money. Chelsea beat Barcelona and Lauren Koscielny still won't play ball at Arsenal. Viva El Scorchio.
Fire in the booth.
Oh, Jack Rodwell would struggle to sleep in this.
What, is he a good sleeper?
Well, I just think he can sleep for anything if he can live with his decisions.
It's true. Did you see him on the Sunderland documentary?
I didn't actually. I haven't seen
it. He doesn't come across brilliantly.
No.
Well.
Or old Rodders.
No, rich old Rodders.
Made a Rodwell for his own back.
Yeah,
he did.
Didn't he just, Jim?
Rodwell Trotter.
It's very warm today in old England. I hope it's warm where you are.
Hope people are taking on board enough water.
Yes.
I hope they're making decent, sensible decisions.
Well, they're obviously not because they're listening to this.
We did the Luke and Pete show earlier, and Pete made a point of telling people we don't need to drink that much water, so don't worry about
70%, it. 70%, that's too much anyway.
Well, why not top it up, see how far you can go?
Exactly. But don't go too far.
Not too
terrible
far.
Statistics about
become
that.
Become a jellyfish.
Oh, yeah, that is an excellent point. Newcastle United have smashed the crap out of their transfer record by signing Joe Linton from Hoffenheim for 40 million quiddles. I didn't see this coming.
I've made myself look a right idiot because I said on Twitter, which I thought was quite a nice joke at the time,
right.
It's come back to haunt me, Joel Linton is an interesting way of spelling Charlie Austin. I thought they'd end up with Charlie Austin. They may still,
yeah.
But they've got Joel Linton as well. Yeah. Peter, this must be very, very difficult for you because, of course, I understand that you can be happy with that signing and still also hate Mike Ashley.
Mm.
But it's made it a little bit more complicated, hasn't it?
It has. It's made it a little bit more difficult. But as I said at the time, will this make the Arsenal protests more difficult because people want to watch the new guy in action?
He's pulled a masterstroke, Mike Ashley, there. They're going to protest. Give him a £40 million
striker.
See if they want to protest now.
Yeah. Well, he's not a 20 a season man, is he?
I mean, not yet.
It's a curious situation.
Well, Benitez,
you get rid of Perez for, like, admittedly, a ridiculous amount of money.
Benitez is fuming. Surely. Must be absolutely fuming.
Actually, he's not. He's got Rondon. He's
and 12 million a year.
Yeah.
Well, it seems very clear. I mean, they were in for Joe Linton this time last season, I think, as well, and a couple of other players that may or may not be arriving at St. James's Park. But it's very clear that Steve Bruce does not have a final say on any of these
course.
Transfers.
Hey,
although he protests that he does.
Don't ever go at Brucey. He said that he's not Mike Ashley's bag man.
Yeah.
When you ever got a good footballing man like Brucey, you've got Marcus and me to answer.
I'll tell you something. Did you see some of the other quotes from Bruce? We obviously, a number of people have mentioned the clubs that he's managed and gone to manage their rivals and so on. And he did say something about, I've been away from the North East too long, apart from that little brief stint at Sunderland. But I've been away too long. And he said, I had the chance when Sir Bobby Robson left, turned it down out of loyalty to Birmingham. Well, fair enough. And regretted a terrible decision. Brucey!
By the way, Brucey, you also managed Aston Villa. So yeah. I'm not sure you were that worried
about
it.
Did he regret that one? And then he said, well, maybe one day the supporters will sing my name. That's not important to me. But if they do sing it one day, it'll be a sign we've done okay.
They might be singing it.
Yeah. They're not going to sing my name.
They sang Mike Ashley's name, to be honest.
The word Steve Bruce, I'm sure, will be involved in some of the songs. But the thing, Marcus, I think you tapped in on it a while back last season or so. He has got a very sort of
lovable,
quite nice, soft voice, isn't
he? Yeah. Affable. Very affable chap.
Avuncular.
But as we know with Claude Puel, gets you nowhere.
Exactly.
He does just look like a lovely...
He's got the worst Premier League football management record with teams who've managed 250 games.
Steve Bruce. But is it like the stock market, though? It can only get better.
Yeah. Brian Robson is second.
Wow. Yeah, Mike Ashley's looking at that and going, buy low, sell high.
Exactly. And that's how you become a billionaire, kids.
Yeah.
Well, he's got a young manager in, relatively.
Is he young?
58?
Yeah, 58. I mean, yeah.
He's not young.
No. Young manager is.
That's what
young.
People say about Pards, because he's got nice teeth.
Yeah. Pards wasn't as old, he's still not as old as that. So anyway, less said about that, the
but
better.
But the obvious comparison people will make with Joel Linton is, I mean, by the way, I'm not exactly entirely sure. Alan Pardew's 58 as well, by the way.
But he wasn't when he was in the chair.
No.
Shut your noise.
Is people will make these comparisons with Firmino, because Firmino is Brazilian, is a forward, he came from Hoffenheim.
That's right.
And he also wasn't that prolific, apart from one season, I think, when he came to the Premier League, he's done very well. But
very different management structure.
And Joel Linton, I almost called him Linton then, like his name was Joel.
I know,
Linton,
Joel Linton.
Joel Linton.
There's very much one L in that
He's more, he's taller, he's more languid, he's rangier, and he plays, he looks to drop deep quite a lot from what I've seen. And someone said on the internet yesterday, don't complain that Joel Linton isn't the finished article, because if he was, he'd be 80 million quid and he wouldn't be going to Newcastle. Yeah. So and that doesn't have to be a dig, that can be the reality as we see it.
He's only 22.
You know? Exactly.
Well, Tim Vickery was suggesting that... Mr. Joel Linton, not to be confused with Mr. Linton, could be playing for Brazil in the future.
Look, he's a £40 million footballer. This is not chump change. It doesn't matter where the market's at. But the situation is, they've got rid of a player who seemed to be quite adept at knocking the goals in at Premier League level for Newcastle United.
Who, Perez?
Playing in that system.
Oh, you like him now, do you?
Rondon.
Oh, right.
They got rid of him because they just didn't want to pay as well.
Hang on, Peter. This £40 million signing, you know what you should be saying? That should be thank you. Yeah. In the words of Rio Ferdinand, that should be thank you.
Well, I'm glad this new season of Steve Bruce joining Newcastle United is just one little situation where you can just go, what do you think this, Pete? Shut up, Pete, when you've got an actual point to make about something.
Go on.
I want to know how you're going to hate Ashley when he's just chucked a £40 million striker right in your bin.
George Linton.
Because he knows he can probably make 80 million out of it in about two years' time.
It's a stepping stone,
we are a stepping stone club.
That's the place Newcastle are at, though.
Car in full effect.
That's what happened with the old Frenchies they used to bring in, wasn't it?
Frenchies?
It was.
Graham Carr is back, isn't he? And he was him that brought those players in and then sold them on. Mm. Or got them to link themselves to Arsenal and then sell them to someone else, like Charles and Robbie did all the time.
Yeah.
I think they're more on Arsenal later, Jim. Yeah. We might be more on Arsenal
and
later.
And French players.
Yeah. Yeah. I miss those days.
Anyway, it's an exciting development, isn't it?
Look, it's a good signing.
I'm looking forward to seeing him. It'll be...
And I do think you can, like I say, applaud the signing, be excited about it, but also be overall unhappy with how...
Singular it is.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a signing.
Yeah, yeah. We'll see.
Exactly.
We'll see.
Thank you, Mr. Ashley.
Anyway, Pete, have you got any more serious points to make? You have a little tantrum about?
Yeah. So I'm just sort of saying that, you know, this seems to be the style, isn't it? You can't see that, it's just one big joke.
And yeah.
It's not a joke. Got
any thoughts, Peter? Well, I've got a few. Well, shut up, Peter. Let's have a little giggle.
They don't really help us out, though, Pete, do they?
No, exactly. No, you want us? We only work with the material we've got, you and Newcastle United.
I'm not part of Newcastle United.
Well, you are to us.
Yeah, I never thought I'd say this, but I'd like to hear more from Pete.
I'm drinking me espresso.
Get that espresso.
I'm
down,
drinking me espresso.
Yeah. Season hasn't even started.
No, I know.
It's the hottest day of the earth.
Already.
It's the hottest day of the earth.
I reckon it might be 45 degrees in here. I reckon it might be 45 degrees.
Yeah, it's very hot in here.
Yeah, anyway, Marcus.
Never mind.
Let's get on with it.
Tops
off, lads. Chelsea beat Barcelona 2-1 in a friendly in Japan. Chelsea played a high pressing game.
Yeah,
that's not what you want in pre-season, is
not
it?
In
the sweltering humidity of Japan.
Well, I like the ambition.
You do, don't
from
you,
Frankie Lampard?
Well, that's Lampard's lot. Look like they're going to play like that this season.
Yeah.
Jim. If anything,
4-2-3-1.
If that's to go, anything to go by.
Yeah.
Tammy Abraham missed an open goal, so that's a good start.
Yeah, but what
it?
A lovely goal he scored with a quick feet.
Yeah, it was. But you know, it's easier than one where there's no keeper, isn't it? Yeah. Swings and roundabouts, that.
Exactly. And it shows you that they will take care of themselves. From what I saw, you can do it with a keeper there, Jim.
Yeah. From what I saw, Christian Pulisic looked really exciting on the ball, but quite profligate as well. And you wonder whether that... I mean, it's early to say, but that could be... If you look at the players they've got there, the players they've lost, and the idea that they can't obviously sign anyone, particularly getting an experienced player in to help them finish off moves. I mean, they got Higuain in last season. I mean, it's a big name. They can't do that. You wonder if the story of their season might be that it all looks very nice and it's high energy, but have they got someone who can put the ball in the back of their net consistently? Yeah. Because Hazard got them out of a lot of trouble on occasion last season, didn't he? Mm-hmm. And he's obviously no longer there. So it'd be fascinating to see how it transpires. And I don't mind Kante and Jorginho there at the base of the midfield. Yeah. I know Kante's out at the moment, isn't he? But those two in that 4-2 would be nice, wouldn't
it? I think it can work. I mean, I know that Jorginho and to compare Jorginho and Drinkwater might be a little generous to Danny Drinkwater, but then they're not wildly...
I do drink water in these temperatures.
Absolutely,
but they're more not Danny Drinkwater.
They're not wildly different players, really. They like to be that metronomic kind of...
Well, the point is ultimately the same, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. And Kante and Drinkwater were obviously brilliant for Leicester City.
And when Sarri completely custard pie Drinkwater in public last summer, he said, well, I play with a three, he can't play in a three, so he's not in my plans.
Yep.
But if they're going to go back to a two, he should be rolling his sleeves up and thinking, here we go.
Well, he should be.
I could play in the League Cup here.
I could play in a preliminary round in the Europa League. They're in the Champions League. So.
Giroud, Abraham and Batshuayi up front, that is... Who starts there?
Well, you'd think Giroud, wouldn't you? I mean, Tammy...
We're all in the Giroud fan club here.
Yeah, massively. But I mean, he has, you know, he's knocking on now, isn't he?
But he simply does not score goals.
Well, quite.
I mean, old Tammy. It's young Tammy, of course. Mm. He seems to be full of beans and it was very full of praise for Lampard, saying that this is a manager who believes in the young players.
Saying, I want to be in the team.
Pretty much.
And doing the old John Joe Shelby.
But how many times do we see this in pre-season when young players, they're scoring goals and they're missing open goals? Mm. And but they're playing pretty well and there's a nice... When the Premier League comes around, I don't know what the situation is with Lampard and Chelsea. I know he's royalty there, but it is Chelsea and he is a manager.
Are you,
so he has a sell-by date, which isn't that long.
Are you saying it's nice and easy to do these fun things in pre-season friendly?
We've seen it before. I sincerely hope. I mean, they are hamstrung a little bit with the transfer situation.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah, 100%.
But you've got World Cup winner Olivier Giroud, and then you've got Tammy Abraham, who, you know, played well for Aston Villa, but was a championship striker last season. It's just unlikely to see Abraham play that much football there. I'd like to see him do it, but of course with Lampard, if the results don't start going their way.
Big Frank did play a lot of youth team players, a lot of young players at Derby.
He did,
it is a different thing.
And okay, they were close to being promoted, fair enough. And it was Villa who obviously beat them in the final, but I don't know. But it's an interesting one with Callum Hudson-Odoi. I mean, he signed a 5-year deal worth 100 grand a week. I mean, it shows you how much they want him to stay
so
now.
So mad.
It's crazy.
I think I said on the group, the Discord, there must be some kind of algorithm that every Premier League team sort of looks at and sort of goes, well, however much we pay them now, they're still going to be... It's still going to be worth 2 years of service and then out there, even if they don't play that many games. Whatever we'll get for a 20-year-old footballer in 2 years' time, it'll be worth putting in nearly 200 grand every week. It just seems bizarre.
I'm probably the only one in the room that feels like this. I'm happy to be in a minority of one. I don't think it's that crazy. And if you look at the circumstances,
well,
and look at the fact that they can't replace him, he's been heavily linked and came very close to moving to a big club.
And he's buying, and he said he wanted to go
this year. Exactly. They need to keep him at all costs because they can't replace him. The only thing I find odd about it, I suppose, is they must have got a pretty positive report back from the physio department because he's got an Achilles injury and he's got no return date. Mm. So I don't know when he's going to be back. Presumably he's not going to have any pre-season at all. Yeah. So it's more of an investment for the future. But in the circumstances, he's so highly rated, it might be unedifying to us from the outside looking in, but... I mean, that's how much it costs.
But
that's how much
it costs to keep him. Highly rated and not necessarily playing that many games.
He's not going to buy a unit for buttons, though, Pete.
Mm. Yeah.
That's the problem.
Well, 35 million was the price tag that was
Exactly.
Being banded
and the
around.
Wages would have been high, right?
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. How many Premier League starts he had? I can't remember, but it was very, very few.
How many has Joel Linton had?
No,
he's 40.
No. He played a few kind of League Cup games. And
he
all
played
that.
For England as well and played well for England.
He did. And Lampard did say that going forward, he really should be, all going well, be central to Chelsea's plans and maybe even England as well.
So, got to keep him.
Actually, having just what I've said about Tammy Abraham, I actually have to give Chelsea and co a little bit of credit there, because actually that is a huge statement. I mean, it's their money, so I don't know. Yeah. I don't mind how much they give him, but actually they're saying, no, this is a young player. He'd come through here, I think he did, off the top of my head, and we're going to give him all that sort of money because we want him to stay and we want him to be a world beater right here.
Do you feel like this sort of era of football that we've moved into means that, you know, this sort of thing feels relatively normal, doesn't it? Despite, you know, the amount of money is slightly
180
surprising.
Isn't a king's ransom now? Well, it is a king's
well,
ransom.
Well, I'm not sure how much it was reported, because I had
for the age,
grand.
I think it's right, yeah. Okay.
And it'll be on still, target. Earnings.
But also, it's not like ridiculous back page news. Do you think this is the sort of the end of the era of players like Theo Walcott, even players like Wayne Rooney, sort of being hyped as this huge, huge thing because they arrive with status straight away.
And also we've got so many more good young players now that it's hard for people to focus on one individual. Get out there and buy yourself a new Achilles. That's what I'd say. Invest that money into your own heel.
True enough.
Lab meat.
The zeal for the heel.
Get yourself some clean meat and stick it on your
You can
Achilles
get burgers
heel.
Just from a lab now, can't you?
Yeah, exactly.
You probably get an Achilles heel.
My goodness. But it is quite pleasing, though, that now the likes of German clubs are interested in young English talent. Ademola Lookman has just gone.
Yeah.
Whereas normally we were importing a lot.
Little Jadon Sancho as well.
Jadon Sancho, course, another one.
He's
doing
the business.
Well, his old club, Manchester City, were back to winning ways in a friendly against Kitchy in Hong Kong.
Did they disrespect Hong Kong as well?
Well, do you know what? Guardiola disagreed with the criticism that Manchester City got when they were in there.
Well, he's not going to turn around and say, we've been dickheads.
We didn't have to say anything.
The place is awful.
True. What do you expect? Look at it.
Manchester City, of course, were accused of acting arrogantly during their China tour, and Guardiola said, "How dare you say that about us, you pigs? Call us arrogant, you pigs."
Did he do the insults in like a really forensic data analysis driven way as well, in a certain formation?
I think his eyes were completely glazed over.
So he disagreed there. But in Brazil, two Manchester City players were involved in a friendly between friends of Edison and friends of Brazilian funk singer MC Guime, I think that's pronounced. Guime, maybe. I don't know. I'm sure none of
you. You're a friend of Edison, you're a friend of mine. I've seen the football, and that's what I have seen.
So, because you popped this in the running order, Marcus, I went and watched the music video of MC. I think it's Guime.
Yeah.
I think, because he's got a song called, and I'm sure we're all familiar with it, Brazil We Flexin'.
Yeah.
Featuring Soulja Boy.
Uh-huh. Soulja Boy's still around.
14 million hits on YouTube, that video.
Oh, yeah. Soulja Boy has been recently releasing a lot of.
Bring that up.
A lot of retro video game systems.
Brazil, really? We flexing.
We flexing. Mm. And it's in English. The title is in English as
well. Yeah, and because Soulja Boy raps in English.
Yes.
Mm. A lot of it is in English.
Match made in heaven, I think.
And Edison was flexing in midfield, wasn't he?
He was. Goodness. He scored two goals. Have you seen the highlights of it?
I have.
Very, I couldn't find the video. Game. I saw a couple of pictures.
Yeah, it's knocking about on the internet. I'll put it in the synopsis. But yeah, it's tidy feet for the second goal that he scored. One was a penalty as well. And wearing number 10 as well.
Nice. Central midfield. Do you not think with that second goal Edison scored, that was disrespectful to the goalkeeper union? He's a goalkeeper and he absolutely took the piss out of the keeper.
Was he a proper keeper though? Was like a charity fund?
It was a charity game.
There was a guy with one leg scored a goal. It was absolutely amazing.
Did he look like a proper keeper though to get the goal?
I think so. I don't know. It's so
cool. Was it like maybe 20 years ago?
Was it like that Irish comedian who plays in goal sometimes at Soccer Aid?
Patrick Kilty.
Yeah.
It could be like old Patsy.
He didn't think he'd be getting a mention on the show today. Yeah. But people go over the top, don't they? I mean,
what do you mean, Roy Carroll?
Raymond van der Hal. on the internet this morning, everyone was talking about how, you know, Edison, he's better than your midfield players. He's he's not though, is he? Yeah. He's not actually that
good. He's not. He's kicking about with an MC. Yeah. He scored in the end, but they had to work so hard for it. He missed a lot of chances.
MC, and by MC does not mean Michael Carrick.
No. Certainly not. But it ended 5-5, in case anybody was wondering. Oh, Gabriel Jesus was the other Man City.
I mean, I presume all these players are just on holiday. This isn't a club sanctioned.
Oh, it was in Brazil.
I think David Neres played as well. There were a few players knocking
around. I believe it's because they report back late because of Copa America, so they're not part of the official business.
It's going to be a lot of late comers coming. There's going to be a lot of slow starts. Yeah. Liverpool, for example.
Would you be happy, though, if you understand why your players need to come back late from the international tournament. Would you be happy with them knocking about playing these kind of games?
The pace wasn't frenetic.
I know, but he's used to playing in goal, though.
Yeah. He could have hurt himself. He could have hurt himself.
I mean, that is the thing. It would be interesting. Guardiola seems, on the face of it, more relaxed with this sort of stuff, doesn't he?
Yeah.
But then, you know, deep down he clearly is.
Oh, he's busy on Hong Kong. He's busy in Hong Kong fighting off protesters.
Yeah. He's up
all night. He's in a white shirt with an umbrella getting involved in the triads. Come on!
Guardiola runs a tight ship, quite clearly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But often when he's asked about things, I can't remember who was it last season when they were in a club or something like that. Oh, was it Mendy, the way he was behaving? And Guardiola just went, yeah, well, you know what he's like. You know, he's we tell him to get in at this time, and just sort of laughed it off.
Right.
He was at a club of Ronaldinho, though, to be fair.
It's interesting reading, I don't know if you saw Fabian Delph's comments this week. He was talking about how, like, going to Everton straight away, the training already, even in pre-season, is a lot harder. He goes home with nothing in the tank, and he said, that suits me. I don't like to go home with any energy left over. And it's not so much like that at City, because they know they're going to have the ball. So a team like Everton, they run a lot harder and a lot further.
That's
and
funny, isn't it?
Maybe Guardiola makes those allowances because their training methods allow for it.
But Jim, could we also put that down to Fabian Delph also really wants to be in the team next season?
Yeah.
Because they all put these quotes out. Every player.
Yeah, it's like, true.
But I understand the point. I think...
It's like going for the Oscar, isn't it? He's just got a campaign for it as well.
I think Guardiola probably has to be relaxed because he's got players from lots of different backgrounds, lots of different cultures. I mean, you know as well as I do, guys, when you go for dinner in Spain, you don't eat till 10, 11 p.m. You know, whereas in England, we eat a lot earlier. Yeah. And Brazil, it's probably a lot more of a different lifestyle than it would be living in Manchester, so they have to be.
And when us Southerners make fun of Mike Ashley, we know it's a joke.
Exactly. we allow for the cultural differences with Pete Donaldson.
Mike Ashley is a Southerner.
He is.
A Southern man don't need him around, though.
No, exactly. Anyhow.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's have a little break.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Fans are shouting every week, Louis van Gaal's army! Louis van Gaal's army!
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. We are excited to announce that Football Ramble Daily is now supported on Patreon. In addition to 6 shows a week from Monday, 5th of August, all of which are completely free, of course, and continue to be available on your podcast app of choice, we are also offering lots of extra fun things for Patreons. From as little as $5 a month, you can support us on Patreon wherever you are in the world and enjoy exclusive access to plenty of extra content, including joining our Discord server, a chance to record a WhatsApp voice note for consideration to be used on the pod itself. Yes, that's right, your voice on this show, and even exclusive access to an Ask Pete Anything monthly Q&A video, which could get messy, admittedly. To check it out and support us, head to patreon.com/footballrambledaily. That's patreon.com/footballrambledaily now. Once again, to reiterate, Nothing will change when it comes to the podcast. There are no shows behind any sort of paywall. But if you want to support Football Ramble Daily and become part of our off-air world, if you like, the Patreon is there for you. Patreon.com/Football Ramble Daily. Also, as of August the 1st, Acast Plus is going to disappear completely. So if you're in an Acast Plus subscriber, you need to get in there and download all the extra content available to you before it disappears on the 1st. We're working on an ad-free offering over on Patreon, so watch this space. But please join us from Acast Plus over on patreon.com/footballrambledaily. We'll see you there. It's lots of fun already, isn't it?
Loads of extras. The Discord server is going off.
Yes. Popping off.
Mm. Popping. It's popping.
Thanks for sticking with us. And say I'm the only bee in your bonnet.
Not the bees! You've got mail.
Bad beat.
Hey guys, Adam says, son, Malawi, they get there was a football match happened and basically they get a live chicken as the man of the match award.
Saw that, yeah, you know, right.
Nyasa Big Bullets FC player, great football team name.
Yeah.
Hassan Kajoke got a chicken as a man of the match award. Just comes out of a little box with his name on it, which I think is beautiful.
If someone asked me what football team I support and I was able to say Nyasa Big Bullets, I think my life would be a lot better.
I'd like a shirt from Nyasa Big Bullets.
I mean, bet you would.
Could you give your own team a nickname? Just say I support the Pompey Big Bullets.
This is patronising with Pompey. There's nothing big about their bullets. Yeah. Bit of, a bit of Pompey shipwrecks.
Well, I don't know. Seaside town, pirate history, cannons, you know. This
true.
The Pompey cannonballs.
The Pompey cannonballs. Yeah.
Weren't they slagged off by... Wasn't Pompey slagged off by Boris Johnson recently?
He slags off everyone, didn't he?
Your fatties or something.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, I mean... No, I won't say that.
Yeah.
But he does slag off every provincial town. I don't know why people don't see through that nonsense.
Luke has got in touch. Hi, guys. Love the show. Thanks, Luke. And hearing the update from Macau last week, I thought I'd share some more footballing news from this part of the world. I live in Hong Kong, and I got to witness the Manchester City team picking up their first silverware of the season.
Arrogant.
They strolled back to their local Club Kitchee 6-1 in the final and only game of the prestigious Jockey Club Kitchee Centre Cup. While most Kitchee fans were able to get past the fact they'd lost a cup named after their own team, apparently...
Arsenal been there.
Yeah. Well, the Emirates Cup.
Yeah, the Emirates Cup.
Apparently, it was all too much for one supporter who instigated one of the strangest pitch invasions I've ever seen. You may be aware that Hong Kong has been rather tense over the last few months after the public have clashed with police and government in massive protests throughout the city. With this in mind, you think the security would be a top priority at a high-profile event with tens of thousands of people in attendance. However, it seems that someone forgot to tell the stewards this. In the 88th minute, quite late on, and they knew they weren't going to get anything out of the match, presumably. A man dressed in black jumped onto the pitch and sprinted towards the centre circle. I immediately began searching the stewards and security personnel, who I assumed would be hot on his tail. However, I was surprised to see not a single person in pursuit. It seems Mr. Invader was also put off by this. After reaching the centre circle, after shouting something that nobody could really hear, he just stopped, looked around, and seeing that no one was coming to get him, seemed confused as to what to do. After about 5 to 10 seconds of walking around the centre circle, a Kitchee player appeared to ask him to leave, and Mr. Invader decided it was a good idea. However, instead of heading for the stand closest to him, which is the rule nowadays, presumably, which strangely had no stewards near it at all, instead he ran the ran the full length of the pitch straight into the arms of a waiting steward, who almost seemed disappointed that the responsibility of dealing with Mr. Invader fell to him.
So maybe that's the strategy now.
Just let them dealing with a naughty kid. Just let them shout
they
themselves
tried
out and ignore
that,
them.
Didn't they? Don't remember
what happened?
They didn't get bored.
People they were deaf.
This happened. They used to do it with streakers. I was at Farnborough Town when they went away to Arsenal in the FA Cup.
Oh yeah,
and the bloke was running around. And he was having a lovely old
completely
time.
Completely Billy Bollocks, was he?
Completely. Yeah. You know, I've said this before. He ran up to the old clock end at Highbury.
Give us a reminder.
Oh, it's worth a reminder. Yeah, so he started running around, obviously, the Farmer Town end.
Old William Bollocks.
They were like, it was genuinely superb. And he ran up to the old clock end at Highbury and jumped up and, like, you know, pretended to
the head one. The cock end,
eh? The cock end. Pretended to head one in, everyone, whoa! And it got to the point where the stewards were like, he's not getting bored, is he?
players are starting to seize up. Call him down.
Did you see though when with Tottenham where they were in the Far East in their latest match and they were kind of it was at the end of the game, they were, you know, applauding the supporters and all, and a guy tried to run on,
right,
and one of the Spurs coaching staff, I think, or maybe one of the physios, managed to deter him and push him away.
How do you deter a man who's willing to risk everything for the thing he loves?
He managed to do it, Peter. I don't know what he said or how threatening he is.
Risk a lifetime ban in the
Your families are watching.
But then did you see Son, though? Son, like, I think he had his training top on, so he didn't have like the kit wasn't showing, and then he sort of crept up and pretended to be one of the locals and ran, and the guy was fooled for a moment. Went and pushed Son away, and then Son obviously like smiled, and he was, "Oh, you idiot."
That's classic. I saw a great, I mean, obviously don't encourage this kind of stuff because you'll get yourself a ban, but I saw a great pitch invasion, completely naked streaker at cricket. It was on the internet a few weeks ago. And he gets into the middle of the cricket pitch and the security come on and get him. And they've all got the jackets, the high-vis jackets on and everything. And they're walking him off. And he does the absolute classic textbook thing.
A surprised mouse.
They've always got him off.
And he starts covering his balls.
No, they've always got him off. And he obviously feels a little bit of relaxation around the restraints.
Yeah,
and he does
one again.
He does one again. Yeah. And they all kind of react. And there's a delicious moment where one of the stewards rugby tackles him and gets a good 3 to 4 second arse crack right in the face.
Nice.
Yeah, it's not what you want. He's probably been drinking all day, that guy. It's not what you want, is it? Yeah.
Oh, is there a bit of cricket happening today in this weather? Oh,
England, Ireland, isn't it?
Yeah, they're having an absolute stinker at the moment. Yeah.
Hello to Callum, long-time fan, first-time emailer, listening to the recap shows you guys battle has been ace. Proper nostalgic from when I first started listening back in the halcyon days of 2011. The keggy border guards, the airport story still gets me every time.
Was that 2011?
The broken crockery people.
8 years ago we said that.
Slightly serious email this, but I'd love to hear your guys' thoughts on the gate footballer. Hoax or not, I think it's raised an important debate in football, or at least it should do. Basically, the recap is that a footballer was on Twitter anonymously saying that he was going to come out. He's supported by his chairman and his manager, and now it's all gone quiet. He said that he can't do it, etc. It could have been a hoax, might not be. We just don't know. I'm a season ticket holder at Man City and a gay man. Now, growing up in Manchester, there is a more general level of acceptance within the city, Canal Street, Pride, etc. And personally, at the football, I haven't felt unwelcome. However, in the game, there still seems to be a level of uncomfortableness in gay men playing a team sport. I've played hockey for years, and honestly, the biggest challenge about coming out was to the people I shared a changing room with in a team sport environment. It does, however, seem that the fans would have more of an issue than the actual players for the most part. I mean, I think we're all on the same page on that one. Yeah. It is very much a fan issue rather than...
A lot of managers and other players have said, you know, it's not an issue in the dressing room.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, there's still clearly a huge problem with homophobia among football fans, and you see it whenever clubs post pride posts on social media. You get a lot of people that are like...
get the politics out of football.
Yeah, and obviously in a lot of cases they're from countries where, you know, they aren't perhaps as progressive as they are here.
Or it might still be illegal.
Oh, indeed. It's absolutely. So it is the cultural norm to be homophobic, for example. It's a difficult problem to fix, isn't it? And I'm really sad about this. If it isn't a hoax, I really, really feel for whoever this footballer is. He claims to be a championship footballer, and I don't really know what comes next in this sort of situation. Would it take more players coming out after they retire, or would it take a group of players coming out en masse?
That's something I was gonna say. I mean, because what's I think far too often overshadowed about this debate is whether the person who does come out on his own, the hassle they have to deal, they're going to inevitably have to deal with, take it on their own shoulders. Now, of course, people are going to rally around them and try and support them, but they are going to be a lone beacon in this darkness. And so you can absolutely understand why they don't want to put up with all that hassle. I mean, it should ultimately be their decision. And the idea of pressuring people and saying we need more players out, it's not really for us to say.
Massively. And also, I think there should be some kind of like PFA sort of initiative that sort of goes to clubs and sort of goes, look, it can be completely anonymous, but there is a support network there for gay footballers who want to talk about, who share experiences as well. If you just do like a forum where people can talk openly about their experiences, what it's going to take. Fundamentally, it's nobody's business what situation anyone's in.
This is it. I mean,
they can be out.
It isn't. But the problem is, Pete, I think, is they live a public life.
Yeah.
So that's where the burden's going to come from, isn't it?
I suppose for a footballer, if they are gay, then they just maybe want to go out to a restaurant with their loved one or something, and it becomes a thing. It's
a tricky issue.
It's a very tricky issue.
There are out footballers in various places in the world. I think there's a few in MLS and some throughout the smaller leagues in Europe. And they aren't held up as these examples, obviously because of their status. But it's not a big deal, is it? We know it's not a big deal. It's 2019. It's not a big deal for somebody to be out and proud.
No,
and
it's not.
I really, really hope that we can get to a point where once a few people do come out, that is just like, oh yeah, this is normal now. It's just because it hasn't happened.
Sure, but on one level, I completely understand that, but on one level, it's no different to the idea that people like to have a private life. There's plenty of stuff on, about my private life I don't put online or tell people about. And we're all the same. So I think personally it's a big ask.
And also, if you're a footballer, presumably, if someone interviews you, you may want to talk about, I don't know, your upbringing. I know some footballers do, and some people have had quite, overcome a lot of adversity or whatever. But some people, like, I don't want to talk about my sexuality.
Sex life on top of sexuality as well, I think. Yeah. I mean, most footballers don't broadcast who they're particularly, they're seeing who their wife is. It's just not a part of conversation around the game, to be honest.
Apart from Moby. Yeah, for some reason.
People on Love Island.
Yeah.
What's Moby's free kick game like?
Yeah. I don't know.
The little weirdo.
Too busy talking about his love life.
Yeah.
All right, then. Shall we move on to
Arsenal?
Well,
if you want to get in touch with the show, shortthefootballramble.com is the way to do it. And thank you very much for your email, Luke.
Yes. Email the shit out of us.
Now we're ready to move on to Arsenal. I jumped the Gunners there. Mm. Arsenal were beaten by Real Madrid and Gareth Bale on pens in the International Champions Cup. You have to wait another year.
Yeah,
it's a work in progress, isn't it?
Nice to see two sendings off.
Yeah, absolutely.
In the game, Arsenal though, they blew a 2-0 lead.
I remember when sendings off in pre-season friendlies were like hen's teeth.
Yeah.
The referee would say, if this was a competitive game, you'd be walking for that, and they wouldn't send them off.
I mean, it's a bit annoying, isn't it, for both players? It's like
Socrates was really pissed off.
Yeah, I mean, he is though.
I couldn't work out whether he did he get the second yellow for booting the ball away, or was that after he already got it?
Okay, right.
He'd get a third for that.
Yeah, I thought it was a bit harsh considering it was a pre-season friendly.
Yeah, I think he was even. It up. He was thinking, why have I sent off a Madrid player?
No, it could have been repetitive fouling, though. It was on Hazard, wasn't it?
I'm not
probably.
Sure.
Is the price different? Because it's 30 quid or something wherever you are on the game, isn't it?
But FA. This won't be an FA competition.
Mm. Oh, no. But this could be like 3 million quid. Maybe that's why it happened.
Yeah, exactly.
He has to pay $300 or he can never go back to that territory again. Yeah.
Where does this bad discipline go? Who learns the lessons? That's what I want to know.
Disappears into the void.
Socrates will get sent off again.
Yeah. I think we can be assured of that.
Yeah. Well, Unai Emery has said that Laurent Koscielny will be frozen out of the squad until the defender changes his attitude.
It's captain's behaviour. It is captain's. All aboard the captain's table. Yeah. This is where you learn how to be a captain.
Changes his behaviour or just turns up for matches?
As the All Blacks say, great leaders produce other great leaders. Koscielny's just setting an example there.
Yeah, he is, isn't he?
I'd like to hear from Jim on this, thank you.
Yeah, it's a frustrating situation. Apparently Koscielny wanted to leave at the end of last season, so basically leave with Arsene Wenger, but obviously he got that terrible injury against Atletico Madrid, so he stuck around.
He wanted to leave with Wenger, off into the sunset?
Yeah, I don't know. I imagine a sunset would have been involved at some point.
See, Pete, we take the piss out of Jim and Arsenal as well.
Yeah.
Just let him speak.
So I wonder if it's that he's, you know, His head had checked out before, or perhaps he doesn't like Emery's methods or something like this. But it is surprising behaviour from Koscielny. It's really disappointing.
What do you make of the report that he was promised he could leave, and now he feels they've reneged on that? He was promised he could leave this summer, and now he feels they've reneged, and that's where it comes from.
It depends on the details of that promise, because there's being promised that you can leave and throwing your toys out of the pram because you're annoyed that the club are trying to get some money for you. I think, you know, in the situation Arsenal are in, the supposed £40 million in the transfer window, that means we're looking at loan players and signing players for next season and not paying until then. Clearly, Arsenal need to scrape together as much as they can get. So he should be a bit more understanding of that. Apparently, he was annoyed that £10 million was what was being asked for him. But, you know, talk to the club about, you know, taking that down. Don't refuse to travel. You know, it's just poor behaviour.
May United let Nicky Butt go for £3.75 million to thank him for his service.
Mm. Yeah.
So maybe there's more to the story than just Koscielny being a dickhead. I has been a dickhead as well.
I mean,
because you've got to set an example.
Yeah,
you can't.
Absolutely.
You can't say
it's behaved poorly. No question.
Yeah, you've got to go into the managers or the chairman, or whatever, and say, look, I know I'm a club captain. I understand that, you know, we have to go and do what we've got to do, and I've got to set example to the players. I mean, it's embarrassing, whatever's happened, for your club captain to be training with the under-23.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, regardless, if he ends up staying at the club, then there still needs to be consequences for that, you know, because that has to be the example that's set. But, you know, at least we're not being linked with a single defender to replace him anyway.
So. What, you want him to stay with this kind of behaviour?
No, I'd like him to go after that. It needs to be a sort of new era, I think.
I like this red line drawing from him.
Well, he's 33 years old and he can't play that. He can't play the amount of games you need your best defender to be able to play. So the problem is, do we replace him with someone who comes in as the best defender? It's looking like probably not. So it's a real problem position that things are worryingly quiet about.
Yeah.
What do you think of Arsenal hoping to sign Danny Ceballos on a season-long loan from Real Madrid?
Yeah, I'm happy with that. Obviously, the thing is, it's, you know, it's a short-term solution to a long-term problem because Madrid want him to just go and play. He will be coming back. I don't think they've got any intention of selling him to Arsenal later. But the situation Arsenal are in, it makes sense.
Do you know how much of a nutter he is?
I've heard he's had digs at Iker Casillas and stuff, hasn't he? And
well, I mean, he's a good player. He's an attacking midfielder.
I like watching him play. Yeah, he's great for the under-21s.
He was brilliant in the under-21 European Championships this summer.
It's crazy. It's one of those players where you think, God, is he still eligible? Because he's been around for such a long time.
Yeah, well, he's only 22.
Didn't he score against England?
Quite possibly.
For the seniors. I think he might have done.
Oh, okay. Well, he was once extremely offensive to Barcelona and Athletic Bilbao fans.
Tell us what he did.
I don't think I even want to quote it.
Give us a flavour.
Give us some Marcus bleeps.
All right.
Is it about sex? They were in the love, violence.
It's about very much violence. Mm. They were in the, I think it was the Copa del Rey final, was it? And he wanted a bomb dropped on those.
Oh dear.
Yeah.
Oh,
no.
That is very, very.
It's very full on that.
Where's he going to have access to that?
Yeah.
Well, I don't mind the
probably
idea.
Dealing with some kind of terrorist or
crazy person.
He did once. He took the piss out of Iker Casillas' knob, comparing it to the size of a coin.
That's better.
But what coin, though?
Yeah. I mean, what? Hang on. What coin is penis sized?
Oh, put it this way. If I'm a 2p piece, Pete is very much a £2 coin.
I'd be a 50 yen piece. It's got a hole in the middle. Where the pee comes out.
And jagged edges. I look forward to it. I mean, I understand that a couple of other clubs pulled out of the race to sign him when they realised there'd be no option to sign him permanently, right? But Arsenal thought they needed him for a year, so they'll get him.
Yeah, it's the place Arsenal is right now.
It is it's exciting times.
Yeah. He's hoping he can do a Denis Suarez.
Damn right.
I think he's probably done that already.
Yeah, he has. He's not done worse.
Hit that level.
Yeah.
The stepping stone that sinks slightly as you stand on it.
Yeah.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's have another break.
They're going down to watch the Football Ramble Live.
RambleLive.com if you want to go and watch the Ramble Live. Boys doing
I forgot we were doing those.
Damn right.
Don't you forget, get a ticket.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Football Ramble.
Yeah, have you guys seen, this particularly caught my eye this week, just because the kid put in such a dig that I cannot emphasise it enough, right? So there's this boy called, I don't think his second name is on this
McIntosh,
story.
Was it?
Mackenzie. He's 11 years old. Mm. And he went on holiday with his family to Antigua.
Right.
And they're lying on the beach, just mucking around or whatever his family's doing on holiday. Mm. Haven't got a family, don't know. next to him is Lionel Messi.
Just hanging
Lionel Messi and his family.
Mm.
So he goes over there and Lionel Messi says, you know, yeah, because you can have a photo and all the rest of it. But let's have a bit of a kick around. And so the story I saw on the BBC website was the kid being interviewed about this. There's a little bit of mobile phone footage of Messi doing some keepy-ups with the kid and everything. Mm. And Lionel Messi's son was there, obviously. His son is 6 or 7, I think. And Mackenzie said, yeah, Lionel Messi, he was very good. It was hard to get the ball off him. You know, he was really, really good. It's great to watch him play. And his son, Thiago, was very good as well, for his age.
Yeah.
I love it. Yeah. Already touting yourself better than Lionel Messi.
I hope that kid plays for England in future.
Yeah, same. That'd be great.
I mean, is the Football Ramble 2019-2020 season going to be pockmarked by you putting links from Newsround?
BBC website. Newsround.
Could be.
It's part of the BBC website. It's the part of the BBC website for kids. Sometimes kids' news is interesting as well, Pete.
Kids' news.
We all
Luke.
Grew up on John Craven. Don't pretend you didn't.
Craven running order abuse. That's what I call it.
Messi's swimming trunks was something I'd not seen before.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I kind of glossed over that, but they were very problematic.
Shouldn't have been naked. Those
They were very, very small.
Anything could have popped out.
Yeah. The boys were not guaranteed to be in their barracks at all times.
A penis might have been seen.
Yeah. It's like Pete and the Japanese onsen all over again.
Good God, yeah. I don't think we mentioned that on the show. Did you see in the Far East also Spurs playing against, it was Harry Kane
Speaking
and
of
Dele
kids.
Alli playing against 100 kids.
Eric Lamella?
That all. Yeah. Was Lamella involved as well?
Oh, dangerous tackles.
Yeah. One of the kids injured him, yeah.
Yeah.
it was those three up against 100 school children, which is very enjoyable.
It was in Shanghai, was it?
Yeah, oh yes, it was. Yeah, Shanghai.
This type of thing's been going on for a while, hasn't it?
Yeah, it seems to be becoming more and more of a regular thing, though, and I'm all for it.
Do you know what
it was an old Japanese video, wasn't it? It was three national team players.
Do you know what the final score was?
Go on.
3-2. Despite having a 97-man advantage.
Boy advantage. Or girl.
The Spurs players won 3-2.
With a penalty.
Right. Dele Alli.
Yeah, Dele Alli whipped a penalty in the top left.
What are you giving away a penalty for?
How do you even get all the players outside the box for the penalty?
No, they're all in the box.
Encroaching.
Were they?
Yeah, there was like, they were all 10 of them were on the line, so Dele Alli had to go top left.
This to me...
Bloody idiot.
I'm starting to think this wasn't an officially sanctioned event.
One of the greatest lines Luke Moore has ever uttered on this podcast, and it was years and years ago.
Yeah, it's been a long time since I had a good one.
I'd like to play football against the 100 pigs.
Yeah.
No. You pigs.
Probably be similar.
How about you pigs?
Yeah.
I mean, how do the pigs know they're playing, though?
Well, I think that's the beauty of it.
Yeah. I don't know, really. I mean, it's the only chance I'd have, probably.
Yeah. I know elephant polo is a thing. I discovered this because the current head of Clan Campbell is a two-time champion, captain of elephant polo.
I'm thinking that's probably cool. That's pretty cruel, though, isn't it?
I have no idea.
Is your life that empty that you're trying to find the clan?
You know
to claim the clan.
If I may speak over you, Pete, you know it is. so if the elephants sit down on the goal line and block it off, then I think it's a penalty once they eventually get up.
God's sake,
it's a very long game.
How big is the pitch and how long are the polo poles?
I have no idea. I can't imagine it's a heavily sanctioned game.
This always is happening reminds in me of Scotland.
Always reminds me of that thing in Blackadder when Blackadder goes forth, when Stephen Fry and Melchick comes in and says, ready to bully off for the final chucker? That's what they call polo, isn't it? Chuckers. It's a chucker. Half or a period is called a chucker.
Speaking of people who know nothing about the sports they're involved in, have you seen that Tony Adams has become president of Rugby League?
What? Yeah, that's odd.
Yeah.
What's he got to offer him?
Well, nothing. Basically, he's even saying, I'm not going to be giving advice to people that understand the sport better than me. It's more about promoting it. It's like, are you the best man for that?
Yeah.
The picture they've used, he's got this weird, it's the sort of medal that like Lord Mayors wear. It's like he's been crowned mayor of rugby.
That's a big boy, isn't it?
Isn't it?
He brought that himself. That's nothing to do with the
It's just his jewellery.
He does look like
he's very poorly, doesn't
he? He's the mayor of the rugby league.
He also says that, he also essentially admitted, I don't claim to be an expert. It's not what I'm about. But I'm here for the game's profile. I'm the president, and this is all about cementing and promoting relationships. I mean, you're going to go for a coffee with someone to promote rugby league. Yeah, that sounds interesting, Tony. What's it all about? I've got no idea.
Absolutely no idea.
I've got a bloody clue.
It's not what I'm about.
It's his work with Sporting Chance.
That's how he got the. That's how he got the connect in the first place, right?
That's how he got in there. But I quite enjoy because he seems to have fallen out of love with football for a bit. I've been bored out of my brains at some recent football games with all the sideways passing. Hit it up there, the park.
Get it up the park.
I'm not trying to say I hate football. And I'm now all about rugby league, despite previously saying I'm not what about this.
Yeah.
But it's a great sport.
Yeah.
It's a great sport, and
get,
it's all
get
the
yourself
better.
Down there.
Sport enough.
Get yourself down there.
Rugby league, bit of league.
Get yourself to a bit of rugby league. You might see Tony Adams in the crowd looking very confused.
Absolutely. I mean,
I don't know what's going on here.
Yeah. His punditry was very much like that, wasn't it? Reminds me of Guy Gomer.
Yeah, it was a bit.
Just sort of absolute rabbit in headlights.
The thing that wasn't anywhere near spoken about enough with Tony Adams, he was very much a subscriber to the idea that when it comes to punditry, if you talk very slowly and kind of pinch your nose a lot and clutch your pearls and look around, people might think you're really intelligent.
Yeah.
Martin Keown also subscribes to that.
He does a bit.
But he hasn't done the decency thing and left yet.
What's the connection?
I've just realised that if Tony Adams has been bored out of his brains at some recent football matches with all the sideways passing, he's not going to bloody like rugby, is he?
Yeah. You literally can't pass it forward, Tony. You can't pass it forward. Why are they not throwing it up there?
Oh dear.
Bro, what's a slam dunk then?
Yeah.
Get him a job at the NFL. He'll prefer that.
Get him a job at the FA.
Yeah.
He's got a lot to offer.
Get him in there. Right, ladies and gentlemen, we've come to the end of our time. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Can we leave now?
We feel a bit like we've come to the end of our lives. Because it's 50 degrees in here now.
Oh, we're back on Monday. We'll see you then.
Don't forget patreon.com/footballrambledaily. Get involved.
Loads of fun over there. Lovely.
This was a Radio Stakhanov production.
That Football Ramble Daily is now supported on Patreon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free.
or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.